You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This is the Dan Le Batour Show with the Stukats Podcast.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
We made a pilgrimage to Dolphin Camp yesterday. That is the first time in 20 years that this show has done that.
Wow. Did you go down the slide?
We did not go down the slide.
Oh, wasted trip.
The full show? Yeah. I mean, Shipping Container made a trip out there back to the Davy days, but this was our first journey over to the new training facility, which is on the stadium grounds.
Someone's drilling into the wall, it would appear. Or something's gonna... No, that's our heater.
This comment, I think, speaks for everything and everyone around here when a person writes simply, this show feel off hard.
You don't get the show.
It has feeling off. We've got people drilling. We've got things falling apart, and we're making pilgrimages to Dolphin Camp. Before we air some of the things from there over the course of the next couple of weeks, just as a teaser, were you guys surprised at the way, maybe I shouldn't have been, but the way that McDaniel talked about Tyreek Hill?
Yeah, I was. Just as, like, in terms of, he basically, not to give away the good stuff, but he basically said, whatever it takes to go get Tyreek Hill, go get him. And that he was just so excited at the opportunity. In some respects, it sort of reminds me of when you first talked to him. I think that was around Super Bowl week, wasn't it? When he basically was talking about how Jaylen Waddle was this guy that he's so fired up to work with. And I sort of wonder if Tyreek Hill has superseded Jaylen Waddle and what he views as a possibility of using the two of them.
If you think that part of the excitement beyond Tyreek Hill is the idea that McDaniel has some secret keys that can make Tua into a magical quarterback and some beautiful mind principles where he's seeing things that the rest of us who care about football in this team are simply not going to see. What was interesting about hearing him talk about Tyreek Hill is it was clear in hearing him discuss it, oh my God, this guy is dreaming of offense that can be created with space creation, that he is dreaming of how all his formulas can work even better if he has a guy that he describes as one of the guys that everyone wants, that changes all the games, that outside of the quarterback position is an unusual value for allowing a creative offensive mind to dream and explore.
We got in deep into his leadership method and the person that he is, and I know there's been some of that done, but I thought that this was the deepest dive into his MO. But from an X's and O's standpoint, although we covered that too pretty extensively, I am curious to see how his offense works down here. I am guilty of falling into the traps of just trying to see what happened in San Francisco over the last few seasons, and how does that necessarily mesh here? Understanding that the Shanahan offensive scheme has had several different stops with a lot of different personnel, but let's just do the most recent example. Tyreek Hill, super fast. Not the same player Deebo Samuel is. Could he do some of the same stuff? Yeah, he's very powerful, hard to tackle. Do you want to run that risk with Tyreek Hill?
They're going to punt. They're going to use him on punt returns.
We'll see how long that lasts. So that's always a plan. Not crazy about that idea. Unless you...
Is that his idea? Fire him.
Yeah, fire is a bad idea.
That's his idea?
Bad really
idea.
Bad.
Super fire him. Yeah. Not a good idea.
Can't be doing that. Punt returns.
No. Get out of here.
Part of that outside zone special running scheme. You need a tight end that can block. Do the Dolphins have that? Because Gesicki lined up as a wide receiver most of the time. He is no George Kittle. Few people are. So I am curious to see what kind of push they get from the line of scrimmage, considering that they don't have this blocking tight end that's playing every snap.
It's going to be interesting to see Mike Gesicki because he was paid the franchise tag because, like you said, he was an a la other fourth wide receiver on the field, and his out-of-line snaps have been crazy. All of a sudden, Mike McDaniel is using him in line now. He's not a great blocker, so were they going to have Durham Smythe on the field more than him to actually block? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Roy, I will have to trust this person because he knows more than we do, and he's conjured something for me that Parcells and Saban did not conjure for me.
We're like 4 minutes into this guy being a head coach. Prove it. Okay. And enough of these saviors that come into town and don't do jack shit. Win some games, McDaniel, okay? And don't put the cheetah on special teams because you're going to get him hurt.
He can't win some games until he's played some games, so that is good advice.
He did win the last game, right?
Barely, yeah.
I can't be a savior until he saves us.
I'm sorry, the preseason victory at the recent Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Bucks.
You can't do that when Tom Brady's not playing. I'm not making anything of that. I don't know if Roy's a Dolphin fan, though. I want to...
Unfortunately, I am, Dan.
Okay, I find it fairly amazing, though, that over the course of this show, I couldn't have told you that you're a Dolphin fan because you don't break with this team.
Well, he's a journalist, Dan.
You don't get outraged by this team. You don't get emotional.
Silently, I do. I don't show the amount of anger that I've had over the years of this terrible football team that I have rarely seen in the playoffs, maybe twice in 20 years. Yeah, I've tried not to show my vast anger for
You've
this team, but
job.
yeah.
Roy's the most level-headed, I think, of all of us. The only emotion that I ever see him or thing that I know for sure gets him upset is his neighbor's tree. Yeah. Other than that, it's like sports teams. Nothing like that really ever breaks Roy.
Sidney Crosby.
The tree.
Sidney Crosby, yeah. That tree almost destroyed my wife's car during a hurricane. And then they lied about it, saying that they didn't move the limb that almost destroyed my wife's car.
Why are you pressing his buttons?
Were you not? Sorry. Why is Billy pressing anyone's buttons?
This is meant to be a compliment to say that nothing really agitates him sports-wise because he's level-headed right down the middle, Roy.
Right down the middle, Roy. Were you not working here when he threw a chair?
I didn't.
Must have been a bad tree day.
I didn't throw the chair.
It was on wheels. Flipped it.
Yeah.
And throw it.
A wheelchair? Someone on a wheelchair you flipped?
It was not a wheelchair. It was a bad scene.
I did not physically lift the chair and throw it, Dan.
It was wobbly.
A stronger chair would have not been an issue.
From where I was standing, because I didn't see the whole room, because I've got windows between the rooms, it looked like it was thrown. I did not know it was rolling because it was on wheels. It was hurled against a wall angrily.
Where did the chair go? It went backwards, right? It was flipped.
I don't remember.
It wasn't thrown.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Calmly flipped.
Billy wasn't here that day, evidently. Billy didn't work here.
That predates Billy.
So he is generally stoic, though. Billy, I want to talk to you about what it is you're saying, though, when you say, yes, of course, I never believed in any of the saviors. But this is a different kind of savior, the rare savior that hasn't conducted a single interview with an NFL team about a head coaching job before becoming head coach. He's a guy that's almost totally unproven. And rare is the coach that gets this opportunity. And I'm always here for some people who are thinking differently or trying to do something differently. And by virtue of the players they've acquired, I'm excited about their offense. So I do believe that there are some things here that can be done that Saban and Parcells couldn't do it, trying to do it the same way everyone was doing it, but better. Like, that's what Parcells and Saban were just doing the same thing everybody else was doing, except with the savior technique that doesn't even work anymore with today's player because today's player doesn't want to work for that kind of person.
Nah, I like the meat and potatoes. Give me the meat and potatoes. This guy seems like one of those guys that cooks things with a flamethrower. Not about that. Meat and potatoes man right here. You know what I mean? Let's do what works.
Well, Parcells and Saban weren't doing what works when they got here. They did what works before they got here.
Well, it works. But they did work. Dan, are you? Wait, hold on a second. Are we going on and we're going to say what Bill Belichick did not work?
Bill Belichick?
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
What Bill Belichick did work, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But what does it have to do with Saban and
meat
Parcells
potatoes.
Here in the Dolphins?
Nick Saban, big success, Dan. Ask anyone. Say who's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Nick Saban's on that list.
Is there any gravy with the meat and potatoes? Is it just meat and potato?
Is it all dry?
Yeah, is it dry?
When you want meat and potato and you don't want meat that's flame broiled or you don't want a blowtorch on your meat, Put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Do you want a coach who blowtorches his meat?
I mean, you could cook meat and potatoes with that flamethrower.
No.
I mean, you could. Yeah, it could be charred on the outside, but it'll still
but
be
Billy,
rare.
Are you when you say meat and potatoes, I want to answer Amin's question. Are you saying, like, there's no béarnaise sauce, it's not filet mignon, it's a piece of steak dry and a potato that is not loaded? You don't want anything.
No.
You don't want cheese, chives, you don't want sour cream, nothing.
I don't like any of that garnish or any of that crap. Just give me a potato, I'll cut it open with a knife, then I'll get a fork or a spoon, whatever I have handy, or even the knife if I have to. Just dig in and start eating.
No salt and pepper.
No.
Oh, my God.
One of the things...
Two Americas.
Mike, that I was laughing at yesterday as we were talking to some of the people from the past of the Dolphins who were talking about three-a-days and denying the players water. And they were talking about how today's AstroTurf holds today's climate change heat. I could not, in walking from the parking lot to the facility... My pervasive echoing thought was, how does anyone practice football in this? I'm like, this would seem to be such a specific misery to be colliding into other giant people at the heat of the surface of the sun.
It was thick yesterday. That's the only way to describe the conditions. I stood outside, made the mistake of wearing pants and a hoodie. I stood outside for 10 minutes. I thought I was going to melt.
I mean, can you imagine this during the Don Shula days, doing two-a-days without a bubble or dome, having to do that in the rain as well?
That's what we were talking about, the primitive way that people used to practice. And it made me wonder if Mike McDaniel, just his general style of demeanor, I'm here to assist, isn't the better way to go with today's player.
Why were you wearing a hoodie?
I thought I was going to be indoors most of the day. It's cold in here. I didn't take the hoodie off when I went. So I was staying outside. Then I was like, well, if I rip the hoodie off, then maybe like some of the belly shows. I want the belly to show right now. It's not a good time for me physically. So I just sweated it out.
What were you wearing underneath?
A t-shirt.
But why were you worried about the belly?
Because like you rip, you take a jacket off. There's no way. You have to like, you do like the hold and then like you pull in the sleeve.
Your elbow down.
And now
you're in a straight jacket.
This move. Yeah, no, it's terrible.
But like Mike McDaniel was going to like judge your body?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just and I was actually by myself at a time that I could have ripped the hoodie off. But even still, I just didn't want a passerby on a security go-kart.
You didn't want to see your own belly in a reflection.
Yeah.
Not to give away the goods, but I found Coach McDaniel very judgmental.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, super judgy. So you were right to keep that jacket on. He would have said something.
He sounds like a dick.
Whoa.
Wow.
My...
He's one of the nicest men I've ever met in football.
It's established. The relationship between this show and the Dolphins has been established now.
Billy wasn't even there. Throwing grenades from afar. I mean, what do you think of what I'm saying, though? Today's player, when you see what happens with the Nets and the idea that today's millionaire has so much power in sports... that the disciplinarian is a thing of the past, that the way to reach a player when you're managing humans, when you're trying to connect and lead, the way today is not make you do two-a-days and deny you water in 100-degree heat because you've got to make the player suffer and show him that you're in charge.
I think there's two things. One, the Nets are not the norm. They are a massive exception, and if anything, they are like the one time we actually let players do whatever, it resulted disastrously. So I think this is going to be like, we'll never do this again. I don't think that's the trend where sports are going. I think the Nets were an exception, and an exception that ended terribly. So it just pretty much is going to be the last of its kind. I think the other thing is that the sports are different, right? What constitutes disciplinarian in basketball would be like super time players coach in football. Football is just a weird sport. The nature of the contracts allows them to treat guys that way because it's like, all right, we'll just cut you. And there's another guy waiting to take your spot. So I think football, between the culture of the sport and the very real financial ramifications, it allows them to treat their players in a way that other sports probably can't. Having said that, comparing football today to football of yesterday or even 10 years ago, yes, it's changing. There's a switch going on, and a lot of it, to be honest with you, Dan, comes from things that were once in the locker room or stories told by vets years after they were retired now are out in the open immediately. And that kind of shifts things because now people have a chance, the public has a chance to be outraged about, they did this. And, you know, before it was like, yeah, that's football. But now it's like, they didn't even give them water. That's unconscionable. And that's a thing that is shifting the culture more than anything.
If that's a copycat sport, and if the winners are the ones who get to change the paradigm, the example I'm using is not McDaniel when I say you better be softer as a leader today. The example I'm using is McVay. McVay seems to connect with his players. He's the champion now, and he's not just a champion. He's a champion who doesn't need Brady. He's a champion who gets there with Goff and then wins it with Stafford, and his players seem to really love the young guy that I don't feel like, maybe I've got this wrong, I'm not in the inner workings of the Rams, but I don't feel like he's breathing on their neck. I've always been arguing on behalf of the head coach as an ally, as yes, you have to keep the checklist of accountability, but he has to be someone who is a helper to the player so that the player can be better. And I find that generally with adult men, not all the time, they can be reckless, they can be immature, but with adult men, you treat them like adult men. You treat them as a teacher, as an ally, you gain their trust, and now all of a sudden you're more likely to get the better player than the one who's playing just because of fear.
The problem is, so McVay has a veteran team. That team was all vets. So vets, yes, you can treat that way. Same thing with my man down in Tampa, no risk it, no biscuit, with his Kango. What's his name?
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians. No longer there.
Okay. But that's an example of, he was collaborative with his players, right?
He was collaborative with Tom Brady, well, and even that was contentious. Bruce Arians, because he wears a Kangol, everyone thinks he's a super
nice 70.
Guy.
If you're a 70-year-old football coach who's been in football all your life, you're probably not someone who connects with the players.
He's like a nice guy.
No, he's a dick. He would fake cut players in front of his teams. He makes example out of people that parked in his parking spot.
It's a prank. That's what the kids are doing, right? Like, oh, it's just a prank.
Remember when
he did to poor Antonio Brown?
Remember when he grabbed his player by the face mask on the sideline?
It's a caress.
That's not a player's
that's
coach.
A caress. But I was going to say the opposite is Cliff Kingsbury, right?
I think Arians is a player's coach by the mutated curve established by football.
That's fair. Yeah. Compared to his contemporaries that were coaching in the early 90s, Bruce Arians is one of the softer dudes.
Yeah. But like Kingsbury, right? Do we think he's a disciplinarian?
No, look what he's got going on with Kyler Murray right now. Did you see how he disciplined Kyler Murray? But, he made him call plays.
And took the contract clause out. Never mind about that. Never mind about the video game contract clause.
6 plays, -2 yards, by the way, on Kyler Murray's called plays.
Oh, wow.
No play box for you, Kyler. Kyler. Time out.
Was that your white parenting voice?
I was limited to Cliff Kingsbury.
Go to corner.
I was putting Kyler in timeout. I wasn't calling a timeout, even though
I knew it. I was thinking the same thing.
I made the timeout
gesture
with my hands.
You did the NFL timeout, too. You didn't do the NBA timeout. No.
How do you coach gently NFL football players?
You can't.
it's weird that there's the outrage of him grabbing an adult's face mask when I was in 8th grade, my face mask was grabbed all the time, and I was a child. Mm-hmm. And there was no outrage then.
Billy, I think back when I saw that controversy about face mask grabbing, I was thankful that when I was a 16-year-old coach of my brother's teams, I was thinking back with remorse on what I would have done if I were a parent and a coach had grabbed my child's face mask the way that I, as a 16-year-old, would grab a child's face mask.
Which is made even funnier because your brother hates sports, right?
That's right. not just hates sports, but was often distracted by plays because he was moving the hole in the ear of his helmet around so it would whistle with the wind.
Wait, you coached Lebo in football?
Yes.
How did that go?
You know, I mean, he was very fast as our running back, but he would get distracted and stop and, you know, pick up a four-leaf clover with the football. And he also got ejected or pulled out of a baseball game because he was in right field throwing rocks at a center fielder.
Wow.
So you can imagine how frustrated I was as a coach and how many face masks I was grabbing all over the place.
Even in baseball, he was still grabbing face masks.
But Billy, I imagine that like the Neanderthal Pop Warner coach is probably still a thing that, yeah, Sean McVay might be changing the model in the NFL, but I'm not sure that's probably matriculated down to all levels of football. With my very limited experience in youth football or high school football, I don't know if that the culture is changing now, but it feels like the Neanderthals have their place in youth sports, oddly enough.
You played high school football or high school football?
Neither.
Oh.
I want to talk more about you in the facility.
What is your limited experience with youth football? Were you just calling the games?
Yeah, no, I used to be the PA announcer for my high school football team.
You cannot do that.
Why
no,
not?
You no,
cannot. I mean, he had a front row seat.
He was the PA announcer once in a while.
Oh, my. Give him a break. He could see the action now and then from his perch.
His perch was pitch perfect comedically. He could see the action from his perch like a little frail bird afraid to pull up his hoodie because somebody's going to see his belly.
A little witty bird.
Unfair what they've done to you, Whittingham. You chronicled the action from the sidelines and shaped a broadcasting career as a sports expert from your perch.
That's correct. When I said my limited experience in football, I didn't mean that like I played or that I meant limited as a pejorative. Like I don't actually know anything about this.
Amin rushed to your defense, and I felt it was with all the zeal and support of a former video coordinator who was treated like shit in professional sports because it was a low level job and he had to climb up through it.
Like Spoelstra, yeah.
It treated like shit. Like I mean, it wasn't great, but I wasn't treated like shit. I thought I was treated pretty well. But it's funny, there are things that in my mind, like, oh yeah, I was treated great, and then I tell people, oh my god, they made you do that. I'm like, yeah, man. Like, didn't you have to do that? And these young video coordinators now, man, they're living a good life, high off the hog.
Oh god, you're the old guy complaining about how it used to be.
Oh,
good lord, man.
Oh, you have you can just download the game from like 5 minutes after it ended. Oh, that should be nice. I remember when I used to have a row of goddamn DVD recorders, like all ready to go for the 7 p.m. games. Like, bah, 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 hit record, and then one of them failed, and you got to like hustle and get the disc. And should I put in EP or SP? But if I did SP now, I got to be pausing out the commercials and stuff because 2 hours is a little too short for a full NBA basketball game. Oh, I had to do all this on my own. Now these kids are like, I didn't download it because the connection wasn't strong enough. I'm like, get out of here. Children.
He is the old guy.
Oh,
he's the old video guy, but you're not longing for that time, correct? You're just wishing that you came up during this time.
No, you know what's funny, Dan? There are times when I miss it. Like, it's weird. I miss that specifically. I miss being in a room surrounded by TVs that had games on and nobody bothering me. I'm just recording, I'm cutting tape and stuff. I miss that. I do yearn for that because I feel like I've never been more intelligent as far as everything that's going on everywhere than I was in those moments, right? You leave out of that room, now you have other things going on. You've got friends and relationships and like
kids, family, kids, as you grow up.
It becomes a distraction.
You're longing for an interesting, different time that is the...
Sounds like you're longing for not having a family.
No, it's more than that, Billy.
More than that.
Yeah,
I don't want my family. I don't want my friends.
I don't want a life.
Wait a minute.
Not now. Now I definitely want a life. I love a life. This is easy. This is the easiest job I've ever done in my life. But I miss that feeling of like there is nothing else. Right. I miss that feeling, and I imagine, albeit much stronger and much more powerful. But that's what a Stan Van Gundy feels at a moment like this.
Oh, but sports does such a great job of mining that person.
Right.
That person who comes in out of school all hungry and wide-eyed, all I want to do is spend 18 hours in a room surrounded by film. Sports will take that person and make that person cynical inside of 18 months by burying them at the bottom of the mailroom and just taking all the furnace and the fuel out of it and leave in its stead a broken, tired old man yelling about what video coordinators have to do today.
It's the opposite. You're saying it makes you a cynic. I say it mines that person and it like ferrets out the cynical ones. Like, this is whack. My friends got to go away for July 4th weekend and I had to stay because of free agency. Like, those people fall on the wayside, and what's left are the people like, yes, free agency. Let's stay up late and just watch the feeds and figure out who's going where and contract structures and all that. And so, like a Stan Van Gundy, he's not cynical about that experience. Even though Stan, we all know Stan, we love Stan. Stan's a guy has interests and has a personality and he's funny and he likes food and he has some weird potato chip stuff going on. But all of that, there's still a part of him who's like, I miss those 18-hour days. And,
that's interesting.
And being
I hadn't considered that the idea outside of the locker room and the court that the employees were also survival of the fittest in sports. Yeah. I had not considered that they get weeded out the same way that the meritocracy weeds them out on the court.
It's a very low standard to pass, but it is a standard, which is how much about this life are you? There are people who could not believe. When I first started working for the Suns, I worked something like 800 consecutive days. Every single day I came into work, at least, I'm not saying like right now, August 16th, I would come in for like, I'd come in at 10 and I'd leave like after lunch. Oh, because nothing going on. There's some international competitions. You get that, da-da-da, watch it, bullshit, check your mail, go home, right? But I came in every day and there was I saw nothing wrong with it. So when I'm telling my friends, I can't go out on New Year's. I can't go out on Memorial Day. I can't go out. I'm not going anywhere for Christmas. I'm not going anywhere for Thanksgiving. I'm working. It blew people's mind.
How many hours a day were you working?
Depends. In season?
Yeah, when you were at your most obsessive, compulsive, having to work 800 days in a row, hungriest, you got to prove yourself, and you're addicted and obsessed, you were working what kind of days?
Seven on a game day would be get there 7:30 in the morning and leave 11:30, sometimes midnight. That on game days, because it made no sense for me to go home. I had shit to do, so I would just do work.
Did you ever sleep at the facility?
A couple of times. I think like playoff prep, when we got to get the books ready. So when you're getting ready to play a team in the playoffs, it's the most exhaustive research ever, right? Because normally for a game, it's like it's 1 of 82. We put some time into this, but whatever. When it's playoffs, it's like everything. We're unloading all the weapons, like that scene in Battleship where they figure out how to kill the aliens and they just unload every single thing they have like into the water. That's what it's like. So
phobe.
Yes, it's a hard phobe. Hard phobe. But when you're doing that on a night where there's 10 games going on and there are 5 different scenarios. We could be the 1 seed. We could be the 3 seed. We could be playing this team as the 8 seed or whatever. Like, you don't know. So you got to prepare for each one as if that's the team. Because tomorrow morning, everyone walks in and they expect this exhaustive research.
What percentage of that information is useful, absorbed, applied? Like, how much excess is there in the information being provided that much of it is useless?
It's not about useful or useless. It's about, when they ask for it, was it in there? And if it wasn't in there, that's your ass. It might be the most mundane thing, but like if it came up and say, how does he do it? And, da, 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 and like, that's your ass. The idea is that this constitutes everything we know about our opponent, what plays they like to run, who they like to run it with, what are the success rates, are there, you know, video examples tied to everything, personnel, every possible thing you can think of is in this package, this book and accompanying, at that time, DVD. Now it's just a video file. So it's not about, but we didn't need that. It's, had we needed it, was it available?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Dan Le Batard.
Again, started on the breakfast flan.
Oh, man. I've been singing a song to myself all morning long. What? Breakfast flan. Da-na-na-na.
Stugatz.
You never heard the breakfast flan
no,
song?
No, hit me with it.
Okay. I wish I had some breakfast flan. Breakfast flan. Where can I find a breakfast like that?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
As Amin longs for an earlier time in life, Mike, were you able to get that sound into the system on David Bowie? Because I couldn't believe the way that David Bowie was talking about the internet just a few years after the invention of the internet, when Bryant Gumbel was on the popular morning show of the moment saying, "What is the internet?" And they laughed and joked. Look at what David Bowie had to say so many years ahead of his time, just a couple of years at the advent of what was an internet that was in a very basic, primitive stage.
Because I think that we, at the time, up until at least the mid-70s, really felt that we were still living under the in the guise of a single and absolute created society, where there were known truths and known lies, and there was no kind of duplicity or pluralism about the things that we believed in. That started to break down rapidly in the 70s, and the idea of a duality in the way that we live. There are always two, three, four, five sides to every question, that this singularity disappeared. And that, I believe, has produced such a medium as the internet, which absolutely establishes and shows us that we are living in total fragmentation. I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg. I think the potential of what the internet is going to do to society, both good and bad, is unimaginable. I think we're actually on the cusp of something exhilarating and terrifying.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's an alien life form.
Jesus. On point.
He says it's unimaginable while he was imagining it. Like, he had, he saw something pretty clearly there on what has happened to all of us.
Also, that no that he hit when the guy said, it's just a tool, though. No.
I thought it had a little Liam Neeson as no. Well. I heard, just like I heard a little Obama in you talking about being in the Sun's tape room, yeah. I also heard Liam Neeson in there with David Bowie.
No, it's not. No.
No.
Not quite as strong, but no. He disagreed vociferously, it's just not as vociferously as Liam Neeson did about taking money out of his own check in the name of equality.
It's just a tool, though, isn't it?
No, it's not. No.
It's not softens it. That no, it's not. No, 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 no. You've gone too far.
What do you guys think? Because I do believe, Billy, that the fan prefers and trusts more a Dan Campbell, somebody prowling the sidelines, barking, speaking in platitudes and caveman rhetoric, and just trying to out-tough everybody.
I think people are in on McDaniel. Like, I think he's won over this fan base, but we haven't played a game yet, so.
WizKid. He's got a WizKid vibe to him, right? Not the artist, like WizKid, like.
Would you,
Boy Wonder,
I mean, would you classify him based on only seeing videos of him and stuff on the internet? Because you've never met him, right? Mm-hmm. Would you classify him? No. Would you classify him as you or the new generation of people in the film room?
Oh, no. He's definitely new school. He's definitely new school.
How are you labeling yourself old school? I mean, you recorded on DVDs. That doesn't... You were part of a very new school organization. That Suns franchise kind of established the template that most NBA franchises run by now.
At the time, we were very avant-garde. Now, it's like... I'll give you an example. I had a player who told me, a player that used to play for us when I worked there, and then I was in the media and he was still playing. And so I remember before a game, I was telling him, hey, how's it going, da da da. And he was like, man, like, you can't believe some of this stuff. I'm like, oh, what? He's like, and he looked at me and said, Amin, you could never work now. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I was like, ouch. That's what he's like. No. It's like, the way you talk to people, you'll lose them. You'll lose them all. These kids, you can't talk to them like the way we used to. I'm like, we didn't even talk that hard. He's like, that's my point. Like, things that we thought were just ha ha ha, like guys are going and having temper tantrums.
Well, you guys tell me, as McDaniel has so many people around him with the crafting and cultivating of what is the face and voice CEO of a billion-dollar property, multi-billion-dollar property. He's the face and the voice. You guys saw the number of people swirling around making sure that the right thing gets conveyed and heard some of the conversations in the periphery on the cell phone selfie that Mike McDaniel took with Greg Cody and others, and the idea that another coach wouldn't have been asked to do that and wouldn't have been nice enough to do it. What other coach are you asking in his press availability? Hey, coach, let's take a picture, a selfie with the media. I don't know whether it was asked or not, but it was not his idea. It was not his idea. It was not McDaniel, and he was just going along because he is a nice man. But nice man doesn't serve you. A nice man is not what they necessarily want in public, because quirky will get old real quick at 1-3. Quirky, fun guy in interviews doesn't work when you're 1-3 in the season of expectations.
Nice guys finish last.
I don't understand. I don't understand why we keep talking about a Mike McDaniel archetype as if it's unproven. You have the example.
What's the example?
Sean McVay.
Sean McVay.
The Super Bowl champion.
Hold on. Sean McVay.
They came from the same system.
He had a very veteran team, though. That's the point.
Like, he didn't walk into a veteran team. He walked into a bus of a quarterback situation, and he turned a team around. Don't give me that he had a very, very veteran team stuff. He established himself with younger players, and then they built a franchise that they traded away all their draft capital for to get veterans to plug and play once they had a system that people bought into. No, he didn't lean on the veterans to help do this for him. And every head coach has veterans. That's why Mohamed Sanu is on this team, is to carry out the vision. Right. You had people like that at the end of your bench over in Phoenix. Like, you have a young coach that's going to lean on some of the veterans to help teach the guys in the locker room.
Right. I think when you talk about freedoms, giving guys freedoms and flexibility, it's a lot easier to do it with people who appropriately appreciate it, right? So I'll give you a great example from our world. I used to work, when I was at ESPN, I used to work out at ESPN LA a lot, right? And ESPN LA was populated by two types of employees. One were people who were like refugees from Bristol. Like, one way or another, they got out of Bristol and they're like, look, we've got it good here. Let's do the best thing we can do here and like let the Bristol people have New York and Bristol and do their Bristol ways there. And then the other type were people who literally just started working as PAs in ESPN LA. And so they had no idea the madness of Bristol at all. They would complain about things, and I'm like, man, you don't get it. Like, we got it great here. We have a good thing going here. So I think in that same manner, when you talk about coaching that certain way, it's got to be with players who understand, oh, it could be trash, and we've got it good. So even the young players you're talking about with McVay when he came in, most of them had been under Jeff Fisher. The ones that were there and remained. So they knew there was a tangible that's one way to do it. And this is a completely different way. I'm like, I kind of like this way. So I'm going to appreciate the freedoms we have and not take advantage of it. You do that with guys that are either rookies or just guys who haven't had that experience. Like, they don't take it. They don't
They don't really properly appreciate
it. We're already seeing McVay's coaching tree expand exponentially. It's going to be like the 90s where you were either from the Bill Walsh coaching tree or the Bill Parcells coaching tree. Bill Walsh coaching tree inspired the Mike Shanahan coaching tree, which inspires the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree. The more success McVay is going to have in that sport, the more that that becomes the way, because other people from his staff are going to get the jobs.
Bill Belichick had a coaching tree. How'd that go?
I mean, they just went from the Belichick coaching tree to the Shanahan coaching tree, and it's a huge culture shock.
But my point is, like, McVay's success will get people jobs, but is his approach replicable? Can we go out there and do what we did in L.A., do it here and do it there and do it everywhere?
To me, he's still a Shanahan tree.
Like, McDaniels is.
Oh, McVay.
McVay?
Okay. Yeah, McVay is still Shanahan tree.
So that's
he worked
Bill Walsh.
Under Mike Shanahan. Yeah, and it all goes all the way back there. It's like...
It's coaches' sons learning from their dads how to do it and how not to do it. Kyle Shanahan is a more modern coach who has Chris Sims' initials tattooed on him, trying to reach today's player, millennial, who Amin can't talk to because allegedly it's too sensitive, or old guy was too toxic. I'm not saying you, but football at the oldest levels, awful environment, coach through fear, deny water, suffering, penalty. We're getting closer and closer to the idea of coach as ally. Coach who, hey, Stafford, you want to go from loser to winner?
Yeah.
Just come over here. I've got a better way for you.
There's many ways to skin a cat. Like, Pete Carroll was also a player's coach. He's the oldest coach in the NFL. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. He has an NCAA championship and an NFL championship. Despite his age, he's one of those new school guys.
I want to talk to Amin before we get out of here on the local hour on everything going on with Durant, and the Miami Heat appear to be going into camp waiting for one of these things to break free next year. You might be looking at Caleb Martin at the four because they're not going to get Jay Crowder until after Durant is traded, one would assume, or Donovan Mitchell or Kyrie Irving or whoever it is.
They still don't have Udonis. Because Udonis is waiting,
yes,
and giving them maximum roster flexibility. Mm-hmm. Because they can't. I don't think if Udonis signs, they can add someone.
Billy, we have in this room
the contract already. UD, like if no one else is making.
He's doing them a favor.
If he signs a contract,
they're doing
they
him a solid by putting him on their team. Okay, like he's not doing them a solid.
He's doing them a solid.
You don't want him to sign the contract, then you're out on Durant. I don't think that they can add somebody.
I'd love
Durant.
For them to do that, actually. Sign UD and announce we're out on Durant because we had to bring
That's
UD
loyalty.
Back.
That's loyalty. That's loyalty right there.
I love that the headline, though, from the Herald is Udonis Haslem still wavering on whether or not he wants to come back.
By the way, I said this in the Slack the other day, and I was very proud of myself. We've got to convince Andre Iguodala. He's got to stay. He's got to play another year. And then at the end of next year, we'll say, play another year.
Did you see what he said?
Yes.
and the
amazing part was, like, ESPN made this incredibly, like, descriptive graphic about, oh, my God, Iguodala on Durant, blah, blah,
From
blah.
The podcast, Point Forward, yep. Brought to you by Metalark Media,
oh.
As Andre Iguodala tries to get into the Draymond Green game,
oh,
comes our, Point Forward.
He's our Trojan horse, guys. He sneaks in, and then he waltzes away with our drugs.
Yeah. He said Durant's got to play it out, totally forgetting his time in Memphis.
The distinction, I guess, would be one was traded and one signed.
I'm treating a Metalark employee the same way you'd want anybody treated.
See?
I'm not going to pussyfoot around the truth here.
Back in my day, he would be disciplined on the spot, Dan. Soft. That's
why didn't he report to Memphis?
Players, coach.
Come on, Andre. Play or don't.
I should do what Cowherd does with Draymond. I think Andre's a Hall of Famer who's got the right to say whatever it is that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better player than anybody else in the league. He should have two or three finals MVP trophies.
I love Andre, but we should push back on that, saying, well, then what happened in Memphis?
Well, the distinction would be that he was traded to Memphis and didn't want to be there. He didn't sign a four-year extension.
There. One. Two, he was traded to Memphis with the understanding that he's going to be released. It happens all the time in the NBA. Vet gets traded somewhere, like, yeah, not really in line with what I want to do. Cool, no problem. We'll do the buyout, whatever. And then he got there, and then all of a sudden Memphis is like, So then, of course.
I'm just giving voice to the voiceless. I find Andre Iguodala to be a pillar of integrity.
Thank you, Kyrie, for being a voice for the voiceless. Don't you guys love the idea, though, of microphone being placed in the face of athletes slash new media. Hey, what should Kevin Durant do? He tells you. He should stay in Brooklyn. Hypocrite asshole! You motherfucker! Why do you think those things? You have to be consistent in your every thought and every behavior. Your opinion now has to be the same as your behavior 5 years ago.
Now you're putting words in my mouth. I would never say that.
Sounds like you were doing that to Andre.
Yeah.
You were putting words in
I was?
Mouth. Yes, you were.
Did you hear how dismissive he was promoting one of the great podcasts in our locker in Point Forward? He sounded borderline sarcastic. Someone has to come here and give it to you real.
Point Forward, Metal Arc Media's own Andre Iguodala is out here getting in the news on ESPN more often than we are. As a news gathering organization that interviews athletes and tries to get them to say the things that end up on the scroll.
Hey, we're tied 1-1 when it comes to management fines. You got Pat Riley fined. You got Joe Lacob fined.
I got Pat Riley fined $25,000. He got Lacob fined $500,000. Mm-hmm.
I got Pat Riley fined because I'm the only one to ask him any real questions.
Oh, there it is.
Serial truth tellers in this back room.
Truth tellers, keep your third eye open. I got a question. How many times do you think Andre Iguodala is promoting Cinephobe on Point Forward?
Wow.
That's true.
Okay. Teammate, just be a better teammate.
Just bad teammate. Yeah.
Can you tell us what's going on, though, for the people locally in Miami who you are one of the biggest national voice advocates for the Miami Heat way of doing business that can be found anywhere. You have often been on Heat Island alone.
Sometimes it's crowded, Dan.
And right now, it's not crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, people are impatient. They expect Riley always to get the whale every offseason, and Kevin Durant is still out there, and it seems obvious that the Heat are in a holding pattern just waiting for big moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think right now you say the roster that we have got us to the conference finals, got us a Jimmy Butler three-pointer away from going to the NBA
finals. The
roster
that we had.
PJ Tucker matters.
And How have they improved?
How many times did they have to do it? How many times? How many millions? How many
every tango?
The argument they would make on behalf of improving is give us Hero healthy.
One, two is PJ, and I'm not obviously PJ was instrumental and played a big role, but they do this all the time. They go out and they get the next PJ Tucker. They do this all the time. A guy like Caleb Martin, who played well and then inexplicably didn't play at all in the middle of the playoffs as Victor Oladipo.
Hated that.
Oladipo quoted as saying recently, quote, I'm one of the best players in the world, period.
Okay, right. And I guess we're one of the best podcasts in the world, period. Like, it doesn't mean anything, right? When you ascend to that status, you're an NBA player. Every single player in the NBA can say that. Every single player. That doesn't mean anything.
Weird that the entire NBA had a shot at one of the best basketball players in the world, period, and he just came
and
here on.
Yeah, he was the one that grabbed that
he would
that
consider
mantle.
A bargain.
He grabbed that mantle, right? Like the idea that Victor Oladipo is comparing himself not to his peers, but to us. Like, okay, but that's not the comp. I don't compare myself as a podcaster to Victor Oladipo. He doesn't do it.
You got away from me. I know that Oladipo is a trigger for you and I both.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is Amin the Victor Oladipo of podcasters?
But you got away from your larger point, and I just wanted to push back on the notion.
What's that?
That they're not bringing back the same team. PJ Tucker made big contributions, especially in the earlier part of the season, and him going to Philadelphia does hurt this team.
I think there's a couple of things. Number one, PJ Tucker is also 37 years old, right? And he got a 3-year deal from Philly. Like at the magic of Miami, right? When Dan says Amin likes or respects or applauds the way Miami does
you
business.
You are one of the most pro-Miami basketball national voices there have been in the last 10 years anywhere speaking in basketball.
Yeah,
about the organization.
And I think he's going to try to be super positive on it, but everybody in the East has gotten better. Maybe with the possible exception of Milwaukee, who are just going to be healthier next year.
Their main
competition, Boston, got a hell of a lot better with the additions of Brogdon. We'll see how Gallinari pans out, but Brogdon is a massive addition to a team that didn't give up really anything for him.
Right.
and you got Philadelphia, which is improved. You have James Harden on a more team-friendly deal.
That doesn't change anything on the
floor. It doesn't change anything, but it does change
Embiid
the cap
number. Embiid healthy, Harden there, wanting to be there, fitter, all of these things. Philadelphia will be better next year.
Sure, sure. You look throughout the Eastern Conference, you can say, yes, these teams have improved, but how many, for instance, Boston is a great example. Boston went out and got Brogdon, and you say to yourself, this team's better. It's better on paper. I agree it's better on paper. They didn't get deeper, though. And that was an issue. That's
sure they did with Brogdon. They got deeper. And they got Gallinari.
I mean, Robert Williams wasn't healthy. This is a team that was overwhelming the second half of the season and got better. They are now the betting favorite in the league.
Right. You can take that one back. They added Gallinari and they added Brogdon. They didn't really give up anybody that was a rotational piece last year. They got deeper.
He's telling you to take it back.
I'm telling you, go through that roster and say, okay, you added. Okay, so go through the depth chart and tell me what that rotation is. How many guys? That's a 10-11 man rotation.
No. In the playoffs, it'll be tight. It would have been
and
tight.
It was tight in the playoffs. And what happened?
Well, COVID happened and injuries happened.
No, in the playoffs.
Yeah, in the playoffs, it got a little bigger actually because of all the things that they ran into over the course of that.
I'm telling you, the depth.
I understand that the bench shortens up when the games get crucial. This last postseason, you asked me a direct question. This last postseason, there were guys that had barely played any in their games against Miami over the season that were playing prominent roles.
Right, and there were guys that they tried that against Golden State, and they realized, oh, I can't play Peyton Pritchard. I can't play him. That's not Peyton Pritchard's not is a bad player. Whatever. That's just a reality of they came a point where guys who they could sneak in and play. Earlier rounds, they could not play them.
Right, but to the point, the Brogdon thing is huge.
If you list out that depth chart, you tell me how deep that thing really is.
Okay,
it's not about depth in the regular season. It's about the seven guys that play in the playoffs.
I understand, but Brogdon's one of those seven guys now.
Right, exactly. I'm agreeing with you, Mike.
Yeah, he's very. My larger point is everybody else got better. You can make the argument on paper that they got better. I don't understand the argument on paper how Miami got better.
I didn't say
as
they
things
got better.
Presently are standing right now.
I didn't say
they need
got
to
better.
Make additions. And they can't make an addition until the Durant and Donovan Mitchell thing gets sorted. And the big domino that has to fall is Durant.
My thing is this. I don't think I didn't say they got better, but I don't think they need to make any addition because any addition they make is going to be marginal in impact. Marginal in impact. And this is a team, again, that's shown time and time again that
unless they get two of the big ones.
Yeah,
You're sitting around waiting. Right now, I would have to assume.
Mike is asking, why aren't they doing anything? I'm like, what do you want them to do?
No, I'm not.
Outside of Durant and
I'm the one that said Udonis isn't signing because he wants it.
It's Durant, Mitchell, Kyrie. It's those three. All three dominoes have to fall. It's a fourth domino.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.